What's going on, everybody? This is Positive Anger, Season 3, with myself, Nathan McIntosh. Thank you, as always, for listening, posting, telling people about it, commenting, subscribing, listening, going to shows, watching videos, doing stuff, you know? Greatly appreciated. One day, this whole damn thing will be worth it, and I swear to God, I'll give every single person here a bag of chips that they like. Chips that you want sent to your door from me. I want to apologize for this podcast being late. It was recorded last week before I was gone. I was gone Thursday to Thursday, which is right now. I was doing shows in Baltimore and Atlantic City. And, you know, good times. Great oldies. Baltimore, I found out when I was there, is apparently the most dangerous city in America. Did anybody know that? Did anybody know that? I didn't know that. I had no idea. I mean, obviously, you see the wire, but the wire's years ago, and I didn't know that. But people are like, yo, yeah, this place is dangerous. Don't go here, don't go here. Does anybody understand? Can we count up the cities in America that are absolutely terrifying? Is there a way to do, like, get a running tally of the ones that it's like, you'd almost rather be in the Congo than here? Almost every time I go somewhere, somebody's like, oh yeah, man, this place is ridiculous. You're like, what happened here? Like, well, people shooting at cops shooting at people, cars turn into big guns, just start mowing people down. You go, I mean, is there like three places to be in this whole place, coast to coast? Either way, I liked Baltimore. The crowds are great. Met some cool people. Good time. Atlantic City was a show inside the Borgata at the casino. And it's like a 900-seat room. And since it's in a casino, there are any age, you know what I mean? You're going from 21-year-old people all the way up to 121-year-old people, which is just sort of an interesting experience for me because I'm like, you know what I mean? You hear me? I scream things. I yell things. Older people are like, oh, we can hear him. And 21-year-old people are like, you could really tone this down if you wanted. You know, we can hear you. It almost seemed like for the first time in a while, some of the old people were like, wow, I can actually hear this performer. Good people there, too. Met some really fun people. Since I was there for a whole week, I'd come downstairs every once in a while. It's just funny. Some like super old people will be like, hey, loved your show. And I mean, they're in a chair. They're fucking hooked up to things. There's like a nurse walking around with them going, don't touch this guy. If you do, he will completely break in half. But anyways, it was super fun. Liz came with baby dog. We took her down to the boardwalk. She walked on the sand for the first time in her little life. It was great. And that's that. Before I forget, shout outs and stuff, obviously, positiveanger@mail.com. I got a couple of requests. I mean, not requests. I got a couple of, emails to talk about certain topics that I will get into, hopefully starting next week. Like I said, this one is already recorded with the very funny Graham K, and you will hear that very soon. positiveanger@mail.com. positiveanger@mail.com. Shoutouts, thoughts, topics, anything you want. Shout out this week to Anthony Shope, who sent me a couple of things to talk about that I, like I said, I will get into hopefully starting next week. But Anthony, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I greatly appreciate you. You are one of the people when this whole thing just, you know, comes together and it's making sense, I will send you a bag of chips, the ones that you want from me to your door. Anthony Shope, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And I mean, I've been on a bus all day. I just got back in the city. I got to walk baby dog. I got to straighten my life out. I got to go to the bank. Can I just say, there's so many things that could be this last week. Oh my God. There's so many. Whatever. Bunch of stuff happening. I think I'm going to go back and try to just not go back to my thing of just not looking at the news. I did it for probably about 3 straight weeks of not looking at the news. But I mean, it's real tough. It's real, real tough. Every single thing plays the news on it. You open a fridge in a store to buy water and it's like, today, CNN. Like, there's almost no way to get away from it. At all, but I stopped actively looking for it, And that helped me out, because there's certain things you go, you don't even want to talk about some of these things. You don't even want to get into it of being like, what a stupid, you hope it would be dumb to everyone, some of the things that are happening. So, well, I'm just going to, whatever, leaving it at that. Leaving it at that instead of yelling about something in the news that everybody thinks is fucking stupid anyway. So, I'm going to get into this episode, again, with the great Graham K. We end up talking about depression a little bit, therapy. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Again, positiveanger@mail.com. That's positiveanger@mail.com. Twitter and Instagram at Nathan McIntosh and NathanMcIntosh.com for upcoming shows. I already said it's coming. It's not for a while, but I'm going to be in Montreal August 2nd to 4th at the Comedy Nest. I'm going to be in Winnipeg at Rumors from August 14th to 18th. And Toronto, I'm going to be in Toronto from the 20th to the 23rd doing JFL 42, doing my own show at JFL 42, where it'll be me screaming into the void for about an hour. What a time. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Back next week with Jazz Ranson talking about some of the things that you've sent me. Enjoy! This is myself and Graham K. All right, now we can start.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording right now. Are you ready?
Wait. Yes, now I'm ready.
Wow! He had to turn his hat around. He had to get real serious.
I pinched my testicle. That's how I get in the zone. That's where I get the funny from.
This is Graham K., everybody.
Hi, I'm Graham K.
Comedian from Canada as well. Very funny man. Also a friend.
Yeah, friend.
And I say that because he has a podcast called Friends in Sports.
Friends are first, yes. Friends always before sports.
Friends in Sports. I was friend 37 on that podcast.
That's right.
Which I was happy to do. And can I say now that, first of all...
And I'm, by the way, that's insult doesn't work in this way because I'm friend like 300 for this podcast.
250. But not actually like 232. But also this podcast isn't called Friends in Positive Anger. You know what I mean? Also, there was a point in time where you weren't living in the city. This podcast started before you were living here.
That's not true. I was here the whole time.
That's not true.
Lies.
You were living in
revisionist history.
In Canada.
Fake news.
Oh, you want? I'm fake news.
I've been emailing him every day.
Hilarious. Which you can email at positiveanger@mail.com. Please email me. Hey, thanks, buddy. Are able to get that? You know what I mean? Positiveanger@mail.com. Thoughts, feelings, opinions. Please let me know all of them.
Racist tirades.
I'll read those.
Homophobic slander.
I'll read it. I won't read it on the thing, but I'll read it personally just because you sent me an email and I gotta go, what in the fuck is this?
What in the heck?
Can I say, first of all, I did your podcast a few weeks ago, and can I say after further review, after more thought was given, I want to apologize.
Oh, my God.
I want to apologize to DeMar DeRozan. Can I say?
You piece of shit.
I want to apologize.
Oh, boy.
Because you know what it is?
I got flutters. He yelled at me and made me feel bad in my own podcast. I thought he was about to apologize, and he pulled a little turn on me.
We had a little fun. We had some fun, huh?
If you go listen to that podcast, Friends in Sports, if I can plug mine, but listen to it, and it's just my two friends. I was calling in because I was on the road, and it was just my two friends, Alex Pavone and this ding dong, yelling at me on my own podcast for 40 minutes. You were
screaming, unrelenting.
I was so angry.
I was so angry.
Alex Jones of sports podcasts.
First of all, I want to say Alex Jones is a huge sponsor and supporter of this podcast.
Yes.
And,
idol.
Every day I look up to that man. Yeah. How can I also go into a court and say the things that I said about Sandy Hook were all lies and I would like my children back?
Yeah.
How can I also do that? No. That's a real thing that happened.
I know.
So sad.
He had to admit in court it was a character.
Unreal. Hey, man, you know that stuff you were screaming about, like, the government wanting to kill everybody? And how everybody should have like 8 guns. You want us to give your kids back? Well, I mean, look, I made a lot of that up for fun and money.
Yeah.
Can I please have my kids back?
Yeah.
And I go, you're willing to do that for money? Well, I like my kids.
Please buy this fish oil. It has colloidal something. It gives you boners. It'll make you an alpha male and you'll lose weight even though I am spilling over my stool right now.
I like that weird man from Kingston accent you gave him. I sell mugs with the name Alex Jones on the side, and I'd like you to buy one. Buy one, but I'd like to apologize.
There is not a chance on earth that I don't pay women to step on my balls and whip me when no one is looking.
Hello?
There is no chance that I don't pay women, all of them, to strap on large objects and cream me in the ass for hours and kick me in the ribs.
Sir, you know you're...
Make me feel like a pretty lady.
This is your...
I'm Alex Jones.
You know this is your custody hearing, right?
Yeah. Whoops.
I would like my kids. So sad.
Yeah.
So I want to apologize.
So you're the same as him.
And you know what? I'm not the same. Can I say... Let me pull this all the way. I'm not the same as Alex Jones. Okay? I'm not the same as Alex Jones.
Okay.
I don't just make wild claims about anything and scream for no reason.
Well, you don't make wild claims.
Can I just give you? I don't know what the fuck happened to you. Right. Boner pills. The skin has a full on erection. There's so much happening under this desk. Can I? I want to. You know what? I'll even apologize to you. I apologize. First of all, I apologize to you for screaming at you on your podcast.
Thank you so much.
Screaming over top of you on your podcast.
Yes.
I'll tell you, I had a great time.
I couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Well, I had a party. Also, when you're not in the room, it's very hard to take you seriously.
It's easy to bully me.
You're not there. It's just a voice in the darkness.
Yes.
And you were like, I'm in my parents' basement.
I was.
We're like, look, man, nobody's taking you seriously over here. And also, me and Pavone were in the same wavelength of being angry about the Toronto Raptors. And I want to take a minute. I want to take a full minute to apologize to DeMar DeRozan. Because you know what? I don't know what the man's going through. I don't know what the man goes through.
He posted something pretty cryptic and dark on Instagram stories. It was a big...
Donnie Darko's my favorite movie.
No, he deals with mental health issues.
Yes.
And I believe you called him a gay lord.
No, I didn't. No, I did not.
You were homophobic.
No, I did not. Look, I will defend... I did not say any of that.
No, you didn't. You did not.
You did not say
anything homophobic. I was joking. But you basically made fun of him for being mentally ill and weak.
Well, that's not true.
And you may have a point. But the way you said it, I'm obviously saying things out of context here. But I thought about you, and I read DeMar DeRozan, basketball player. He's come out having mental health problems.
Yes,
and he posted something like "Darker nights, darker days," and there was just a black screen, and that was it. And I was like, oh man, what if he kills
himself? Posted on Instagram?
Yeah. What if he listened to my podcast and then? You know, because he came up in a keyword search.
Let me tell you something. There would have been a lot of people saying a lot of other stuff, too, about him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's getting talked about on real rep, like TSN.
I know.
By, like,
what if he
Shaq.
Kills, what if he kills himself? And then I'm like the media said this, and I'm part of the problem, even though, you know, not as many people listen to my podcast as TNT.
Well, this is why I'd like to apologize, because in hindsight, you know, lost a temper for no real reason.
We were hurt.
We were hurt.
We were also embarrassed as Canadians. That's also
super embarrassed.
That's also
I said
true.
That on this podcast too. I was embarrassed to be Canadian, because and he's not even Canadian. But you go, you play for the Canadian team. You're the superstar of the Canadian team.
Certainly.
And I was like, I can't even. You know what I mean? But again, I don't know what it's like to be in that on that court. I don't know what it's like to have his specific. Mental, lack of a better term, problems, or I mean, regular things that probably everybody goes through. You know what I mean? Everybody's depressed. Everybody has their things. A lot of people don't ever talk about it or show it. This man, more so probably than some, and he's in the spotlight. It's got to be hard to deal with in that realm. And you know, I felt bad. I felt bad about it because, like, I mean, I wanted to rip my passport up. You know, and I still think that Dundas Square should have been sent to Cleveland, but
it was embarrassing how they bent us over. And
there is no way that Cleveland did not step on the Raptors' balls.
Yes,
absolutely.
They pegged us.
Oh yeah,
they pegged us.
So you know, I just want to say I want to apologize to DeMar DeRozan at the beginning of this, and I want to apologize to you, Graham K.
Thank you
for screaming at you over your podcast and making you
that
feel
means a lot, and I appreciate
like a sad,
it.
Broken and human
you,
being.
Yep, it did. And you're a good man and you're a strong man, and I appreciate that.
I'm pretty
and
weak.
Thank you very much for having me on. Yes, I know. And thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I cannot believe. That we're in a real studio. I cannot believe that we're in Madison
make a phone call?
Square Garden.
It's the building right in front of Madison Square Garden. We're partying. Anybody that wants to come up, Let me know.
It's amazing. And I cannot, the switchboard.
Here's the joke.
Here's the joke. It's made of wood. I haven't seen a switchboard made of wood in a while. I think they recorded Rumors on it. Great album.
This is actually where they mixed the Lucille Ball show.
Yeah.
It was here specifically.
Wow.
Let me ask you this question. Because, and this is another reason that I want to apologize to DeMar DeRozan. This might be maybe a sullen episode. We'll jump around.
You don't have to be sullen.
No, I'm not like fully sullen. Not like I want my kids back. I made up a bunch of random theories, sullen. But I mean, the reason I also want to apologize to the good doctor, Dr. DeMar, is that let me ask you, do you go to therapy?
No, I'm starting to think if maybe I should. But I'm pretty well adjusted. I get
like,
unhinged at times.
Yeah, but. You also like White Brooklyn, which doesn't make you a hinged human being. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't call it White Brooklyn.
I'm going to call it White Brooklyn. It's White Brooklyn. Am I wrong? It's White Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. I like things to do. I like fun things. I like art. You don't like things. You don't like any of those things.
I like a lot of things.
You move to the busiest city, the city that never sleeps, and you move to the one neighborhood that is a suburb.
Takes
so
a
that's
nap.
The kind of personality
we like to
you
take
are.
A nap every once
that's
in a while.
That's the kind of personality you
We
are.
Like to get away from it every yeah. once in a while. You know yeah. what I mean? Live yeah. right in the middle of White
yeah.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, and you live right in the middle of the blackest neighborhood in the world. You know what they say? Astoria, soul food. Go to Astoria for some soul food. That's what they say, dummy.
So that's a hinged person, huh?
Yeah.
Can't make a small joke about Brooklyn, he snaps.
Well, this guy's telling me that I live in a white neighborhood and he lives in the whitest neighborhood.
I'm talking about the Brooklyn that is now. There's an old Brooklyn that still exists in some parts, and then there is Cupcake Brooklyn.
Sure.
Either way, we're not talking about
You're
Brooklyn.
You're getting mad at me that because investment
mad at you.
Bankers pushed me out of the east
How
side
am I
of
mad?
Manhattan.
I'm not mad at you.
You know?
I'm not.
I don't want to live. I want to live in Lower East Side, man.
I'll go with you.
I want to do heroin with Johnny Ramone.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore.
No.
There's nobody down there doing heroin
anymore.
It's
all cupcake shops.
It's all cupcake shop. People snorting pizza.
Yeah, it would be a slow cupcake shop line.
Getting people
on heroin.
Instead of getting people, they're standing upside down and getting people to jam organic food directly into their ass, like trying to get high. You know. Yeah. So, anyways, I have been I've been going to therapy now. I'm going on and off for a few years, right? But this last, go ahead.
I'll ask you after you finish your thought.
Okay. I can't wait for this question. Do you think
I was just going to ask you if you were gay. No, go on.
Well, the more I go to therapy, the more I'm starting to think that I'm not... I think
the
I'm pansexual.
The more Liz body disgusts me.
Yeah, I could see it. Strap a dick to anything, I'll suck it.
Yeah.
The But no, I've probably been going the last, like, year. And
okay.
I say that to say... tying this all into DeMar, that everybody has their fucking things, right? And I have definitely been on stage and snapped about whatever the fuck, and I'm sure people could go, well, that man sucks or is bad at what it is that he does or whatever when he's having a night for whatever reason. You know what I mean?
I think sometimes you snap on stage and you think that it's not going well, but
yeah.
people know they're at a comedy show and they assume it's... Maybe you're not doing an act, but everyone is laughing. I guess
oh,
I
you
thought,
saw. Yeah.
I thought they're laughing with you, but you're telling me they're just. I guess I'm learning they're laughing at you. You were
it
having
depends.
A mental breakdown.
Well,
and people were laughing at a broken man.
The night you saw was. I don't even know why I was that upset. I truly.
It's part of your stage persona. I mean, it is a heightened version of you. This is
yeah.
you who we're talking to right now.
Yeah,
and on
yeah.
stage is you, but it's a heightened version of you, and it's funny.
But that night, I was mad that I was closing that show.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to do some newer things that weren't really cooking, and then I got mad at myself for dipping back into like older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one woman was like, "That's not true," and I just lost my mind. I just fucking snapped.
You had a great set.
Sure, man. I left there sad and depressed, and I texted. I think I texted you.
You're an
I
idiot.
Texted fucking Chris Milhouse. I go, "Ben, I'm so sorry that I left your show that way." I threw the fucking mic on the stage, and I go, "Look, man, I apologize." And he's like, "What are you talking about?"
Oh yeah.
He goes,
yeah.
"What the hell are you talking about? It was great."
That's funny. I was just mixing it up with a different time until now. I was thinking about the Broadway time.
Well, Broadway, recently. But look, we're not naming names here, but there's certain times in the city where a good screaming at a room full of monsters is welcome and good. But either way, so I say that to say that as I've gone through therapy this time for the biggest stretch that I've ever done it, realize things about myself and why I do certain things and why I react to certain things. And again, that's why I just go, you know what? Fuck, man. I had no... I mean, I get it in the moment why I'm screaming at a celebrity for not fucking winning a game that really means, in the grand scheme of things, zero. You know? It's not like they're playing for healthcare. That would be a different situation. And it's like, buddy, millions of people are dead now.
You and I are legitimately playing for healthcare. We are trying to
get
successful enough to have healthcare.
Well, we have healthcare in the land of good.
Do we though? We haven't been there in a while. I don't know.
Let me tell you something. I keep an address for that reason.
Good for you, baby.
And I keep getting my health card renewed. You don't get your health card renewed?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You're killing it.
Oh, sick.
Do you think if you pulled in,
is it fraud? Are we going to go to jail?
Look, man, a Canadian jail. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Maple syrup and tits. It's just a fiesta. Let me tell you, that was just a joke for American people. We have real jails with real people that will really kill you.
Oh, they hold you down and rape you.
But you're not going to go to jail for it's not. What? How is it fraud? Do you pay tax in Canada?
Yes.
And there you go. What's the difference?
I pay taxes in two countries.
Me too.
I haven't done my Canadian tax yet because it's not due till June something.
Yeah, I know. I hit up my guy too, and I was like, "Hey, man, can I
tell you something?
Go ahead."
Because we're artists, so we have to, we're independent contractors, so we always owe at the end of the year, at least I do.
No, I owed. I owe.
And it's always thousands of dollars. and I never have thousands of dollars, and I never, you know, I'm not a good planner. I like the hooch. Anyway, so I had some good gigs and I paid my American taxes, no problem. And then my Canadian side, I'm like, man, it's gonna be a little less, but it's still like gonna be like at least a grand, let's say, maybe more. And I just found out that a Canadian commercial I did a long time ago, they kept running it without telling us.
Oh,
and I just got residual check that's gonna like cover like way more than my taxes.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's the best.
Yeah.
What was the commercial?
Weed Man Lawn Care Services. Yeah, Google it. I look like the biggest flaccid penis
Funny.
In the world. I look like the biggest nerd.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it's fun. Who cares?
I've only done one commercial in my entire life, and it was for one of the greatest companies on earth.
Viacom?
No.
Oh.
And in the country of Canada. Swiss Chalet.
You were in a Swiss Chalet?
Yes. It's the only commercial I've ever done in my life.
What can we compare Swiss Chalet to in America? What is it? What could we compare that to?
First of all, I have to post that commercial. There's no reason I shouldn't have that on my Instagram. Why don't I have that commercial on my Instagram?
It's too funny.
I'm going to post it on my Instagram. Anybody that wants to see the commercial, check it out.
Chalet.
Dude, let me tell you something. First of all,
it's like a really fancy Wendy's with a waiter.
It's a Wendy's with a waiter. It's a chicken Wendy's with a waiter.
It's the kind of place where they have waiters, yes.
Yeah.
But all the waiters are under 20.
But let me ask you something. Do you not love Swiss Chalet?
I fucking love
Swiss Chalet. And how Canadian is Swiss Chalet?
Makes no sense.
And the only commercial I've ever done, and I might leave it at that. I might, unless I get to a point where somebody's like Pepsi's like, Nathan, we want you to sell our Pepsi. Mm. And I'll go, beat it, Pepsi. I'm a chalet guy.
Yeah.
No, I'd take Pepsi money.
Of course
but
you would.
I'm going to post that. Yeah. But so let me we're going to jump back into this real quick. What were you going to ask me about therapy?
Has it helped? Does it work?
Yes.
You just talk and then they fix your brain somehow? They tell you, "No, do this." And you're like, "All right."
They go into your brain. Here's what they do. It's really crazy. You got to get a really good therapist. I think so you go into this place and they put you on a table. And they put oil on your back and they rub you.
Oh,
and then at the end, they turn you over.
Oh, boy.
And they start rubbing your front.
Oh, I like that.
And then they finish the front.
Oh, yeah.
And then you release, like, demons.
Oh, I like that therapy. I did one of those therapies once by accident. And then they started rubbing the front, and I was like, I don't want...
Don't rub my front.
I was like, don't... What?
No, the front's good.
Yeah.
The front's relaxed.
Yeah, I can take care of the front.
In all honesty, yes, it has helped. And years ago when I went, it started to kind of help, but then I moved here. And then coming here... the first little while I was like, you know what, this isn't, I don't know, but here's the second time around, this is what I decided to do for myself. I'm just putting it all out there. Instead of before, when I first started to go, I wasn't really given enough. Does that make any sense? I wasn't going in with my real feelings and thoughts, and I didn't want to really tell somebody stuff about my life because I was like, who is this person? This time I went, no, this is a service. I'm doing this for a specific reason. It's like going to the gym and sitting on a bench and texting.
Yeah.
You can, sure, but pick up a weight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm just going in and going, here's what's up. And yes, it has definitely helped. It's helped me dealing with like my own mom and brother. It's helped me deal with certain thoughts I have about myself and certain ways that I fucking interact with people, which is, you know, screaming over them on their podcast.
Yeah. But that's fun.
Well, that was
Don't
a party.
Lose that.
No.
Then
that's
you don't
a
have
full
a career.
Party. No, I'm out.
Then you'll have to see a different counselor to get a job. It'll be a damn cycle.
I leave the therapist and go into a career counselor's
office.
Because
you're fixed, so now you're poor.
Well, it's not fixed. I don't think you can ever get fixed, if that makes any sense. I don't think you can get fixed. But I think all you can really do, from what I've been told, is understand why you might do certain things and be aware of them. That's sort of it. So instead of going on like a, here's what I do, and this is another reason I want to apologize to the good Dr. DeMar. I sometimes get into a full, I don't know about you, maybe you do, I get into a full fucking funk where I can't do anything. I'm not funny, I'm not good, I can't do anything. And those are the thoughts that are going through my head, you know what I'm saying?
I get in funks where I don't think I'm funny.
Okay.
And I just have to tell myself it'll come back. Because it happens so many times where it's just I'm not funny for like a month.
Yeah.
Like it's just like I can't even in talking, I have no confidence.
But, okay, so it hurts other things.
It just comes back. Maybe I'm not eating enough vegetables or something.
Yes. But you know? So a while ago, and not that specifically, but that's a thing, that would fucking tear me apart for a while. And I wouldn't be able to be good anywhere.
Yeah.
But, that's a thing I've become more aware about. And just other things in general with how I feel about certain things and how I react to certain things. I'm like, oh, that's because of this. And I'm not, I don't have to stay there for a long, long time now.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Have something happen and be aware of it and move on.
Have something happen. Yeah, okay. I think I'm good. You can talk to me if you want. I got all the answers.
I would say personally that everybody should probably go to therapy.
Yeah, I should try it out. I should. I got sent to therapy when I was in high school.
For what? Why?
Really bad obsessive compulsive disorder and depression.
What was your, buddy, we all had depression in high school. You know,
exactly.
You looked around, right? And women had these asses. And then there was these dudes that were having sex with those asses.
Yeah.
And you weren't those dudes.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm sad now because I'd like to be those dudes.
And now they have a solution to that. And those people who have found the solution are called incels.
Yes.
And what they'll do is you just shoot everybody.
Yeah, no, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kidding about the asses. There's real reasons to be depressed.
No,
mostly just because people are going through things. But if you were depressed enough to go to a therapist, what the hell, what was happening?
I had really bad OCD. I used to touch everything.
Asses.
All of the asses. I was a public masturbator. And the city, municipality asked me to see some
therapy. Graham, please close your quote.
No,
Graham.
Look. I want you to look at it.
It's waving. It's waving.
Anyway.
You kept touching things.
I had to touch walk through a doorway, cracks, sitting in chairs, touching things, every single thing you could imagine. I had to do three times. I could do it the first time if I had a pure thought, meaning I didn't think of like a killer or like a gross, pussy, homeless man's face that I saw earlier.
This was a real thing?
Or, yeah, I'm not making this up.
No, but those examples are real things.
Yes, or like something really disturbing to me, like if I thought of those in my head, like a pedophile's name I saw on the news or something, and if I thought of that name as I sat in a chair, I would have to sit two more times with a pure thought, and I would have a Rolodex in my head to flip through all these, like Michael Jordan, let's say, and like a bunch of like people that I would emulate and think of cool, to flip through that so quickly that the bad name or bad thought or bad image couldn't sneak in there as I sat in the chair two more times. And I had to do it two more times because the two would cancel out the bad one. If I didn't do that, I was afraid my face was going to change into the thing I thought of. So, and if
you're thinking of Paul Bernardo, your face is going to turn into Paul Bernardo.
Yes. Or I...
So you come in and you go, hey, class, how you doing, Paul Bernardo? And you sit down in the chair.
I would say that.
No, but I'm internally.
Yeah. Yes. And then I would have to do it two more times. And then on the third time, if I didn't have a pure thought, I'd have to do it nine times because nine's the perfect three.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm just trying to understand. So you would sit down three times. But when you say sit down three times, do you mean like you half sit or half. You fully stand and then re-sit down?
I would do half sits.
Half sits. Okay. Three half sits.
And also walking through the doorway of the classroom, also picking up my pencil, everything.
Okay.
And if I had... If I felt like a bad vibe was in my head, I'd have to shoot it out. So I would shoot it out by going, making a noise like that.
Oh, my God.
And I'd have to shoot it out, and I'm even doing it right now. Like, I have to shoot it on an angle. Otherwise, like, hit a wall that's on an angle so it bounce like a laser that way off a mirror or something. And otherwise, it would come back into my head. So I was always, like, going... Like that.
So you shouldn't have been around people. You should have been sent to the woods.
Well, what happened was my parents, I didn't know, it was the 90s, no one knew what OCD was. Because the thing about OCD...
Pepsi Blue was around.
Yeah.
Biker Mice from Mars was on the TV.
My brother loves that still.
Great show.
He's autistic. He is. And no, he wants me to order them off eBay.
But the implication was that I'm also autistic, and that's what I laughed at.
Yeah, well, I might be. I have a podcast about autism.
No, me.
Called,
me. I thought you were saying I was autistic because I brought up the show.
Oh,
then
yeah.
You go, my brother loves it. He's also autistic.
Yes, you might be.
Well, we just explain jokes. That was fun.
But anyway, so I, it was, the thing about OCD is you know that it's crazy.
You do.
As the person doing this, you know it makes no sense. You know it's not reality.
And how do you know that?
Because
you see other people not doing it?
Because you're not you know it starts as superstition and becomes reality.
Okay.
Because you practice something. But you know it's crazy. You know if really if you stop there's no way that your face is going to change. You know that.
Yeah.
But you can't stop doing it.
Okay.
You just can't. It's an obsessive compulsion.
Yes.
So things are stressful in your life, and you need to create order.
Yes.
And this is the way you do it.
Uh-huh.
And it was the 90s, and...
Pepsi Blue, Biker Mice.
No one knew what it... People don't know what OCD... It wasn't out in the culture zeitgeist. People didn't know about it. I didn't know about it.
Can I ask you another question? I'll probably ask you a few more questions. This was in your high school, or was this from when you were a kid until high school?
It started about 13.
And what happened?
It came to a head around 16. My guidance counselor told my parents in high school that he thinks I'm on drugs.
Okay.
Because I was acting really weird.
Sure.
And my parents confronted me, and I was I'm like, you're 16, 17, you know it's crazy. The last thing you wanted, you're already so insecure, you're of that age. You don't want to say, yes, I think I'm going to if I don't do this, my face is going to change into a killer. It's too embarrassing. You're embarrassed to walk down the street normally. You don't want to say anything like that. So it was way cooler and more comfortable to just say, yes, I'm on drugs.
Wow.
And then
what drug did you go with?
What they no drug. My parents are just like drugs are like a thing, just that all encompassing drug.
Gotcha.
So what they did is they sent me to Saskatchewan for high school for 2 years.
Away from them.
Away from them. I'm from Ottawa.
Yeah, but like
they
a boarding
sent me
school?
To a boarding school boot camp for my last 2 years of high school.
Christ.
Because they thought I was on drugs.
Wow.
And the therapist that I saw was the only person I really told.
You were sent to a boarding school, all boys, I'm assuming.
There was 50 girls and 300 boys.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a fiesta.
Yeah. It's the cheapest boarding school in North America. It is. My dad wanted to send me to the boarding school in Ottawa, Ashbury, but he couldn't afford it.
What's the one in Saskatchewan called? In which part of Saskatchewan?
It's in a town of 300 called Wilcox. The town is the school, and you're not allowed to leave the town. You're not allowed to have a car. Kids try and escape. They try and escape on the train that comes through. We packed a bunch of candles and blankets because canned food. We're gonna hop the train.
Well, that's like a freight train. There's not like a via. That's not via rail going.
No, it's a freight train.
It's a freight train, like a boxcar.
We got scared because it was like, you know, it's like in Saskatchewan, it's like what all Americans think Canada is in the winter. Like it's really cold.
Also, it'd be very hard for a man like you. You'd have to jump on the train, jump off, jump off.
It stops.
And I mean, we're going jokes here. Three times you'd have to get on the train.
Oh, I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
You deserve more
than
that.
You jump on, no problem.
I'm very self-involved.
Boy, you're an autistic monster.
Yeah. Graham, come on, the train. It's leaving. Two more times.
Paul Bernardo.
No.
So this is your thoughts on therapists then, because you were basically forced to see a therapist. So then this is your hesitation to go to a therapist now. Is you were forced because of all of this, because of the OCD, forced to go to a boarding school in a small town in Saskatchewan and forced to see a therapist.
Yeah.
And what did the therapist...
Well, no, I saw the therapist in Ottawa before I got sent away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I never saw a therapist in Saskatchewan. What they did is... They would fight you if you acted weird. So I if I didn't want to get my nose broken because I would keep getting in these fights, I had to stop doing this.
You?
Students.
Students. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
In this weird school, in the boarding school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that like a military school or is that just like a? Is that what it is?
Technically a hockey. It's like a famous hockey high school.
Okay.
They have 350 people and 14 hockey teams, and I was really good at hockey. Until the year before I got sent there. I was over it. I was burnt out and over it and mentally exhausted by the time I got sent there.
Uh-huh.
But my dad was like, it's the cheapest boarding school in North America. It's a room. Our bedroom was a room maybe double this size of this little studio. Maybe I would say 250 square feet was our room, and we had five kids in there. And that's where I lived for 2 years. I think it was...
Same guys for the 2 years?
No, different guys.
And you're going to like regular classes?
Regular classes.
Or is it like you walk out in the hall and they go, we're going to punch you in the chest now for an hour?
Both. But we'd have
classes
all day. Who, the teachers?
Who, anybody?
Teachers.
Do teachers hit you in a boarding school?
This one, the teachers would rough you up a bit. They
really?
Wouldn't punch you in the face. They stopped doing it a couple years before I got there. There's a kid who got his nose broken twice by the same teacher.
Jeez, the 90s, man. People don't realize.
Yeah.
In the 80s, I mean, they're probably lighting you on fire.
Yeah.
70s are throwing you right through fucking windows.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it was like pretty lawless. I've never been. I'm from downtown in a city of a million people. You know, like I had never experienced just like so much whiteness and hickness and in a small town, just a small town. It was really. It was just, you know, I just was weird.
Yeah.
And I was over hockey too. But anyway, so it's like hockey and a large component of kids who have disciplinary issues.
Okay.
Who had to go get sent there as like a last ditch kind of thing.
And that was you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was, you know, but I played hockey too, but yeah. So.
You get a goal, you get another one.
Yeah.
You get three goals. Graham will only get a hat trick, he'll fucking lose his mind.
Oh, he just sits in the corner twitching.
Calling himself Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
So therapist, when you're doing for OCD, right? What do they say?
Because
you said the therapist was the first person that you ever told that you had OCD, right?
Yeah.
So what do they say to that? What is the thing that they do?
I don't remember they said anything. We only went like a couple times.
And we're done for today.
I remember they gave me a pamphlet that said that of like people that were like famous who had OCD. And
that's hilarious.
One of them was a goalie named Clint Malarchuk. And that's all I really remember of that.
Dude, you know. They just hand you a thing being like, hey, man, it's okay if you're fucked up. So are these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
That's very weird.
Yeah.
So even a therapist doesn't have
I mean, to be honest, it was 20 years ago. I don't remember. I don't remember what they told me. I went to two sessions.
Two? Okay. Yeah. I thought you went for like a little bit.
No.
Because you were asking me, like, when you go to therapy, what, you know, what do they say? Are they just like, hey, you know, it's not necessarily that people say much, but that's why I was wondering about OCD, because that's a thing, right? Yeah. And there's things to, I mean, obviously you've gotten better, like, over, I don't know, like, correct terminology, I don't know. Yeah. So how do you even, like...
I'm not one of those people that's, I don't know what the terminology, I don't care.
No, but I mean, I don't know if it's like, do you get over OCD? Is it something that you have to
For me, it's like,
fight?
Yeah, it's, to me, it's like being an alcoholic.
Okay.
Who's sober. You'll always be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like
so you want to touch things.
Since I started doing that example of, like, the shooting out thing, while I'm talking to you, in the back of my head, I'm, like, shooting it out. But, like, I'm trying not to.
So you're still very much there, kind of.
Yeah, but I have it under control. Like, when I get tired sometimes, like, I'll start flicking lights on and off before I go to bed and be like, what the hell am I doing? Just go to bed.
Well, see, that's...
I can just put it away and be like, go to bed. It doesn't mean anything.
But that's what I was saying basically about therapy. With certain things that come up, you now know... you know, the same kind of thing. Go to bed. There's no reason to sit there and live in whatever that moment is.
Yeah.
You know, or you could sit there and fucking go, my whole goddamn life is a sham, and here's why, and I'm a loser, and you can do that forever, or you just go to bed.
You know?
And sometimes that's harder than that easier than others. Sometimes it's harder than others.
Yeah.
But
I'm not a good sleeper, but it's not. Usually,
I'm not either.
It's not usually depression. It's just I worry. You know. Like,
yeah.
But it's, you know, I'm sure it's regular worries. I just...
The world's gonna fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stay up sometimes being like, just worrying about things, worrying about certain things. Wake up in the middle of the night, panicked.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think,
That's not... I don't do that.
I do. Not like a lot, but, yeah, sometimes, man, I'll just wake up going, fuck. This is fuck, that's fuck. Like, I just wake... It's like my mind's already going 100. I wake up... It's like my mind was going the whole time, and then it finally got me up. I was like, you gotta be up for this.
Try CBD oil.
Which is what, sir?
Well, CBD oil...
Proud sponsor of Positive Anger.
Is it? No.
Yes.
Know
it is? No, I don't. What is it?
It is, it's pretty new. It only really became sort of popular, like, 12 months ago. And, like, I only started seeing it out there. And it's basically the part of – it's like the, you can get it in like – I think – usually it comes in drops, little like droplets.
Yeah.
And what it is the non-high half of marijuana. It's not – no HGC.
THC.
No THC, sorry. Yeah.
No HGTV.
I take the HGTV. I take that out of the planet.
Hey, homes with homes, it's over.
It's out of there, baby. And
my $1 million reality place. I don't know any of the other shows.
And so you just sort of, it just sort of calms you without making you high. Like you're thinking fat. You know what I mean? But it apparently really helps you fall asleep. It helped me really once for a worst hangover of my life. Our friend Rob Bebenick. I was staying at his house. He's like, take this CBD oil, and it, like, helped me. But apparently, it really helps with sleeping, because it just calms you, and it's organic, and it's not really a drug, you know what I mean?
Yeah, all that stuff kind of freaks me out, though, because I don't want to get used to anything. Does that make any sense?
100%.
My brother has ADHD, right? Pretty heavy. And he told me years ago, he was like, you definitely have ADHD as well. He's like, there's no way you don't. I've grown up with you my whole life.
Sure.
He goes, take this Dexatrin. He goes, and if it calms you the fuck down, you know you have it, right? And I was like, cool, man. I took a Dexatrin. Four hours, Graham. I sat in a room and just wrote. 4 hours. Didn't think about anything else. Didn't do anything else. And I kind of came out of that and was like, well, that was fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
And I just never wanted to get used to it.
Same thing happened to me when I got prescribed those too when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And I just didn't take them. But because I just was like, I don't know. Sometimes I take them if I have like a writing thing due or something like that. I'll take it.
I never do. I just like freaks me out. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird that it's possible to turn off certain things that are going on. And sometimes you need to have that done, but can't you just do that without a fucking pill? Like, the pill is the part that freaks me out.
It's weird that our quote unquote competition, like people who write for shows and all that stuff, like I've got a few friends who write for shows, they're all, and they don't need Dexedrine. They're all on Dexedrine. Like,
to focus.
Just writing, that's focusing.
A, yeah.
And, like...
Schools, colleges.
Yeah. Like, there were so many kids in university that were, like, doing Dex, and I was prescribed it, and I wasn't doing it, because I don't give a shit, dude. You can fucking have your goddamn A. I don't give a shit. I just want, I mean, yeah. I want to pass. I want to get, like, if the best I can do is a C+, B-, I don't give a shit. I got a 3.2 GPA. Just throwing it out there, you know?
Four is the good one, right?
Four is the good
buddy,
one.
I got expelled from a high school. I don't know much about anything.
You didn't finish high school?
No, I finished high school, but I mean, I was expelled. I went back.
But, like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I get it. I'm with you.
You're there to see what you can do,
but I'm also,
not you and a pill. And
yeah, like, if the pill is, yeah.
You'll never, ever catch up to these, to everybody. If you're going to take a pill because you want to catch up to, like, the Joneses or whatever the hell, there's going to be the Smiths next month. You're never, just do you. You know what I mean? And, like, I felt like it took away, like, my personality.
Yeah, yeah, that's
I
the thing.
I like being spacey. I like not being confused. I like kind of like being confused and not having to think. And get, you know, I kinda, it's like me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And, like, I don't know. Like, just fuck it. You know what people do in L.A. now? When they want to do auditions?
No.
They take beta blockers. People who do, like, late night TV a lot of the time, they're taking beta blockers. And I don't know what that is. It just blocks the thing that makes you nervous.
Why would you want to do that? The nerves are the fun part.
That's what I'm saying. You get to feel alive for once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you've done late night. Like, you're right behind the curtain. It opens up. Like, I want to feel that.
The nerves are the fun.
Fuck right off.
The nerves are the fun part. That whole day, the night, the day before, the day of and the night before, for me anyway, was crazy nerve-wracking. But that's, like, the life, feel alive, and
then you get to beat the nerves the next
time
because you get more used to it, and that's a feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And beta,
like,
blockers.
They go on these auditions. You know what I just did? I started doing this because I bombed. I got pretty far in some auditions. They were going to make
did fucking Super Troopers 2.
Yeah, no, I did okay. I was on a pilot that almost got made. I was almost like a TV star, you know. Where I was like, you know, it's like when you get that close, you're like, I have a 70% chance of being a TV star, and then the 30% side wins. You know what I mean? Like they NBC made this fucking pilot, spent millions of dollars making. They built the sets and everything. You know, and then we killed, and they just didn't go, which is fine. And then, but I had one where maybe I should have used beta bloggers. But what they're gonna do a spinoff of How I Met Your Mother, called How I Met Your Father, and everyone, at the time, you know, you're like, this is gonna be a big ass show,
sure,
you know. And this is a different, this is not the pilot one, but they didn't even make the pilot for How I Met Your Father. But people are like, it's gonna be a big ass show. They had like big actors were involved, and I was gonna be it was between me and four other guys,
okay,
to be like the gay boyfriend of somebody, and it doesn't matter. But I was like, okay, cool, and I got to the new called chemistry reads, where you have to meet. They already chose my boyfriend, right?
Okay.
And so, like, they want to see if you work with this dude in a room and you read the script. And I never met him. You know, I did, like, some research on him. And
that man?
And I got in.
Was Antonio Banderas.
That man was Antonio Banderas. He turned out to be Antonio Banderas. You know what? He had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
And I'm 56 years old. Anyway, I signed in and I saw because I'm used to, like, seeing all the people that signed in before me, and, like, there's like 30 fucking people. And this one was like, it was just, oh my God, it's just me and these four guys. Holy shit. And I start getting so fucking nervous.
Sure, yeah.
And I walked in that room and I ate the biggest dick. I think I was like, help, how are you? My name is Graham. Nice to you.
Yeah.
And they're like, get out of here. I was like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And like, I could, oh yeah, beta block. You know what I mean? But I don't regret. That's a life experience.
And that life experience is it's a weird thing because beta blockers is a quick fix, right? But as we walk through this earth, many of those things come up. Whether it's even as small as trying to go talk to a girl you don't know, right? You're trying to talk to a person you don't know that you'd like to talk to.
Yeah.
The only way to get good at any of those things is to do them and know what went wrong during the thing. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you go up to, again, guy, girl, whatever, and you want to talk to this person, this strange person that you don't know but you're attracted to, and you go up and you do that, and like, hey, huh, I just wanted to, and they go, get out of my face, you know now certain things about yourself that you didn't know that you can use for the next time you have to do something like this. Mm-hmm. Which is basically, all of it is just a fucking weird mental game that you have to play with yourself to go like, there's no real reason to be nervous here. It's awesome that I'm in the room, that I have to, that I get to go in and audition for this. Who cares what these other people did? I'm just worrying about my own thing. You know what I mean? Yep. But all that stuff is so hard to do when you're, when you don't do it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
100%. You have to do it.
You have to do it. But I like the whole, I like the mental game of a human being doing it themselves. Like, steroids or say a boxer, and maybe they do, I don't know, but say if a boxer was taking beta blockers, I'd be like, well, that's a little cheesy. You know what I mean? Just because you should have those nerves.
I hope you get knocked out right away.
I know.
I'm calm. Clank.
but like the whole idea is that you have to, most of that is you in your mind is what the real battle is in that situation. And that's the part of it that I think is so cool. So if somebody was just like, oh man, every boxer's just full of dexterin, you know what I mean? They're none of them feel.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, that sucks.
That's not why I'm watching. People go like, oh, I want to see sports where they all just do steroids. Just let them do steroids. That's not why I'm watching sports.
Yeah.
Might as well just watch robots.
Yeah.
It's the same. They're not people anymore.
I want
to see what human people
do. One day you will.
I know.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, how far can one human go?
It's not impressive to me to see a guy who's on steroids run really fast and jump really high.
Yeah.
It's not impressive to me. I'm like, well, maybe I could do that if I did. I want to see people. What's impressive about sports and to see people act or do anything interesting is it's a reflection of humanity in comparison with yourself.
Yeah.
That's what makes it impressive. Like, I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then a piece of your brain goes, well, what if I was all yacked up on cocoa beans, you know?
All yacked up.
Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, and the whole sports thing. Yeah, man, I'm with you, and that brings us back to how we started this whole talk, which was about DeMar, and I apologize once again. I also apologize one more time to you, Graham OCDK, which
you
I didn't
have
know about.
To. You're a lovely man, and I'm impressed that you work in this back room of this building.
Graham, can you tell people where they can find you?
You can find me at Insta, Graham K on Instagram, and Mr. Graham K on Twitter. Also, you can find me at comedybythegraham.com for show dates and all that jazz. I have a sports podcast that you should listen to called the Friends in Sports podcast. I also, if you have a person with autism in your life, a loved one, or you know somebody who has autism in their life in any way, why not recommend the biggest podcast in the world about autism called Autastic? Autastic. And listen to that. We got a bunch of cool guests. It's not depressing. It's kind of funny. And some people are like, do you make fun of people with autism? F right off. F right off. You think I have a podcast where I just make fun
Imagine
of people with autism?
A whole podcast.
For
a whole series. Week three. Autistics are still out there. Holy Christ. That's just hilarious.
Learn how to count.
Look people in the eyes.
Yeah.
Well, Graham, buddy, thanks so much for coming on, man. I know this was we did it. You know what I mean? We got to the real issues. Anybody listen to this podcast? I mean, we didn't get it, but I mean, anybody listen to this podcast? You want to shout outs, thoughts, feelings, and opinions on these episodes, or you would like to have some topics talked about? Please email me at positiveanger@mail.com. That is positiveanger@mail.com. I will respond to you. I will read things. We'll talk. Twitter and Instagram at Nathan McIntosh. And again, guys, thank you so much for putting the podcast in your stories. I know it's a small thing, but it does help get the word out there. So if you are listening to the podcast, post in your stories. Let people know where you listen to it. Let people know that you enjoy listening to it. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And it also gives people something to do. You know, I'm always looking for fucking things to put in my stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're probably right. You're driving. You got this and you got this. Mm-hmm. So anyways, and NathanMcIntosh.com for upcoming shows. Greatly, greatly appreciate you guys. Thank you.